Welcome back to Making a Mentor. This is episode 7 with Becky Bridge. Gaz, what did you think of the episode?
Yeah, it was good. Becky's a vocalist, singer, does weddings, gigs. I think there's a lot of vocalists out there that kind of have a lot of talent and maybe don't know how to monetize it. So we hope she'd be useful for some people. And it was probably the most comfortable we've been.
We had a lot of fun. Yeah.
It was in the morning.
That's true.
A bit different. It was.
We've been editing some of our episodes as well into shorter versions of it. So we'll take the best clips of it, either some of the topics that we've learned, some of the best lessons that we've learned. And you can find them over on the YouTube channel. We're going back and retroactively editing all of the episodes that we've got previously. But you'll be able to find Harvey's out there now. And we'll be releasing Becky's with some as well. So if you want to check that out, if you can't make a full episode, they're all out there for you. And for Becky's episode, enjoy.
Why don't you tell us what you do, like?
So, mostly I'm a wedding singer, and I do commission work on the side as well, and I'm working in a school.
What do you mean by commission work, just quickly?
So, quite often, brides and grooms will come to me after their wedding and ask for their ceremony songs to be recorded professionally, so they can put it over their, like, pictures and videos and stuff from the wedding, so it's a bit more personalised.
I didn't even think of that.
I know.
Yeah.
I feel like it's becoming more of, like, I feel like the digital aspect of weddings is, like, becoming more. Mm. Like, I know I went to a wedding recently and, like, you're, like, encouraged to, like, do, like, a little video or, like, in a room and they collect it for.
Oh, so they make a big show of it.
It's like in the same, let me just zoom out a bit. It's like with like, kids' birthday parties. Like, if you think about when we were all young, we don't have an Instagram blog of like our whole lives in pictures.
Yeah.
They're like little fragments. Whereas the kids nowadays will have their whole lives documented.
And that's strange.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like less. Sorry, I've gone completely off topic.
But to bring it back though, if we go into So if we go into the wedding part of it, where did you come up with that idea and how did you get into it?
My dad has been a massive influence on where I've gone in my music career.
Okay.
So he was kind of the one that pushed me into trying out weddings.
Mm-hmm. Singing specifically?
Yes, so singing and playing piano. And
does he sing at weddings?
No, but he would play as part of like a function band in the evening.
Oh, cool.
So I would do daytime, he would do nighttime. But daytime's class because then you get to leave at like 5 p.m. But he's there all night.
Oh, no clients are watching. She's looking to get out at 5.
No. But
what was, for example, the first wedding that you did? Could be interesting. Why don't you give us a bit of a story about the first one, how you got it and what it was like?
So it was a family wedding, so it was no pressure whatsoever. Well, it was a lot of pressure, to be fair.
Yeah.
But, like, it wasn't a proper paid event for someone that I didn't know, so that was great to just get myself into it. It was actually in Northern Ireland, so that was nice to be with family over there. It was good to get to grips with the day because it's planned out so differently than you would think. So as a guest, you don't think about how the day is planned at all.
Mm-hmm.
So as a musician, you need to be so aware of like the bride coming down the aisle and when to start, just so they're not waiting really awkwardly when she's arrived at the bottom of the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great to get to grips with ending a song not awkwardly and making it make sense for all the guests and stuff like that.
In what way? Have you got like any examples?
For example, A Thousand Years, that is a classic tune to play for a wedding. But I tell all my brides to milk the moment because hopefully this will be their only wedding, all being well.
You don't want to do this again, Carol. Give it all you got.
Exactly. But so many of them like practically run down the aisle because they feel awkward and they want to get the moment done with. But I want them to enjoy it and enjoy the music and enjoy the moment that hopefully they're going to spend the rest of the time with this person.
Mm-hmm.
But some people don't listen. So they will just run down the aisle.
Oh, so then they're stood and you're still
exactly,
singing.
Exactly, yeah. Right, so okay. I need to always figure out a moment that is good to end on. But it needs to make sense. So you don't want to end in like middle of a verse. You want to end on like a really nice line, like a really lovey-dovey line.
Got you.
So, yeah.
I can imagine most people have the same songs, right? I reckon there's quite a few like traditional songs you have. Have you ever played any songs that are just like left field, just like crazy.
Yes, and they're my favourite.
Okay.
So although it's more work, so it's not like out of my set list that I've got already, they are great because I get to go away and arrange the song and make it my own, and they've booked me for my style, so I think they like that as well. So like, some people wanted some Game of Thrones stuff.
Love that.
Like,
Wait, Muse. What was it? Like Muse? Did you do a Muse piano cover? What song was it?
Unintended.
Okay.
Do you know it?
I don't know.
It's a great tune.
Yeah.
And it works really well with piano anyway. And I can't think of any others. But there's been some like out there ones. Yeah.
So did you just start doing this when you moved to Northern Ireland?
No. So there was like colleagues out of our school, actually, my head of year wanted me to sing just one song for her daughter's wedding. So that really started it off, actually, come to think of it.
And that was the first one?
It was, actually, yeah. That was the first wedding that I sang at, but the first proper, like, all the ceremony was the one in Northern Ireland.
Got you. Did you get paid for the first one?
I did, like, 20 quid.
Yeah, nice.
Should you work for
petrol
free?
Money.
Mm-hmm. Petrol money.
Yeah.
There's clearly some underlying beef there about the pay.
No.
Yep, just enough to get home, actually.
I had no car at the point, so it went straight to my mum. So I got nothing. But no, it was good to get me into realising that I could do it.
Mm. So you talked about your dad's influence a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe talked about your dad's influence a bit. I wonder whether, like, how was it that he inspired you to end up specifically at weddings, but also how did his musical influence kind of affect you?
So weddings-wise, he's always been pretty involved in weddings. I've gone down a very similar route. He's been a photographer, he is a videographer right now, and he's a musician as well. So
all within that field?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
With other stuff as well, but primarily weddings. And he's a massive inspiration to see that it can be done.
Mm. So does he do that full time?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, in Northern Ireland, and he flies back here as well.
And does it hurt?
Yeah. But just musically, he's been a massive inspiration as well. Like, a lot of my music taste comes from him. He has flowed between quite a lot. So like, in the 80s, he would have been into, is it Level 42?
Oh, I don't even know.
I don't know.
His player.
Oh, no, sorry. I'm embarrassing myself now.
Yeah,
why are you calling me out?
Carry on.
I promise I'll play bass. I swear I'll play bass.
We play real things, you know. When did you start music then? Quite young?
No, actually. So my some family members tried to get me to play piano kind of classically, and I just was not interested at all. Like, they got lessons for me, and it wasn't for me at all.
Yeah.
So I came away from that, and then it must have been like primary school, and I was at a sleepover with my friend, and we did karaoke, and then she was like, "Oh, you're really good." And I was like, "Am I?"
And how old are you at this point, sorry?
I must have been like 13, 14.
Oh, right. Wow. So it is quite late, really.
It is pretty late. But then that was the moment that I realised, okay, maybe I'm better at this than I think.
Mm. I'd love to know how many singers discover themselves through karaoke. Now, you've said that.
Oh, no.
I mean,
there must be a few.
Yeah. It was Don't Stop Believing as well.
Don't stop. Don't stop believing, Becky, all right?
I won't.
Can we just get a quick rendition of what that was?
No.
In karaoke style. All right, so you talked about you did this first wedding, right?
Yeah.
Weddings is a part of the way that you make money through music now.
Yes.
What would you say is a good thing that you could say to someone who was maybe in a similar position mm-hmm. to you, musically, maybe with talent, but doesn't have your dad, for example?
Mm-hmm.
What could you say to them to try and give them some advice that might be able to get them to start being able to work towards doing weddings and making a career out of it, potentially?
I would say getting in your first booking, because that is the only thing that's going to actually make you get your set list together, get you practicing, because otherwise you've got no goal to work towards.
Mm.
Like, as driven as you are, well, this may be just for me personally, but I need a date. I need something that I need to be ready for.
Mm.
Other than that, promo is so important, because if you go to any random person and a bride comes to you and is like, how do you sing, what's your stuff like, then you need to be able to send them something, because mm-hmm. I mean, if I was a bride, I personally wouldn't go for someone who I haven't seen. So I think that's fair.
So what do you usually send across if somebody says to you, we want to see what you've got? Have you got like a portfolio together or?
Yes. Okay. So quite often you don't need any more than a verse and chorus of something.
Interesting.
Yeah, which some people don't like, but you don't need any more than that. So you can either put out a verse and a chorus or something, put it out as a separate video, and then you can compile all those verse and choruses of different songs into a bit of a showreel.
Okay,
and
nice.
Then that is so good for brides to see different tunes that they can have for their wedding, let alone just seeing what you're like as a musician.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and that creates so much content like to put up regularly. Because you've got the showreel and you've got all the minute and a half videos to put up as well.
So did you do that just on social media? Or do you have like something else as well?
No.
Just social media?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't have a website. I'm not big enough to need a website at all. Mm. So a lot of my bookings come through Facebook, to be honest, rather than like Instagram.
I was going to say as well, I was curious to ask you, my opinion would have been that quite a lot of your future bookings might come from word of mouth because of the community of... kind of, I feel like there's quite a community for sharing weddings. People kind of talking, oh, I had a great person who did this, or, you know, my wife got this person, have a look at them. Like, I feel like there's quite a, would you agree with that? Is that,
Has
that happened in for you? Like,
yes, massively. So, like, two weddings ago, I did it was her sister last year, like, from lockdown. So I've done two weddings for the same family, and then I'm hopefully going to do a third, if they get married anytime soon.
Oh,
there's
wow.
been no proposal yet, so I've been promised.
I'm booked in, but we just gotta wait for this guy to get his act together.
Pretty much. But no, especially in Northern Ireland, like, weddings are massive over there, so word of mouth is really important. So many people share stuff on Facebook, and because of the age range,
Facebook, I was just about to say,
yeah, it is.
We're maybe talking what, like 25 to 45 year old men and women, right? Facebook, surely,
Facebook
is where they grew up. Like,
yeah.
Interesting.
Well, one of the interesting ones for me, right, is the set lists that you've got. How did you build that up? Like, how did you start it off, like, knowing which songs to go for first? And how many songs do you have in your catalogue at the minute?
At the minute, I would probably have about 200, but that they are all, so some of them I won't have played for years, some of them will just be charted and I'll just have to wing it on the day. I wouldn't do that for a wedding, I wouldn't wing it, but if I was just gigging normally, then I would just wing it on the day. But the more weddings you do, the more requests you're gonna get, so you can just
add into that catalog.
And that's what's amazing, because some brides know exactly what they're after, but then others are like, they've got no idea. So I'll just send them over a little set list of stuff that people generally go for at weddings. And then that gives them an idea, which is good. But no, gigging is where I would get my set list from.
Okay.
See, we'll go into gigging, but I want to kind of just do everything on weddings.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Okay, fair.
Because we'll go into that. We're interested in that as well. But I suppose one thing I'm interested in about weddings is... Yeah, I've been to a couple of weddings. I feel like people are in really good spirits to engage with the music in a way that maybe if I was having dinner in a restaurant and somebody's playing, I might engage less than if I'm at a wedding. Like, I just wondered if you have that experience when you play the evenings, that it can be quite fulfilling musically, that everyone's kind of up and dancing to you, or if there's any songs maybe or things that you've learned about how to deal with a crowd, a wedding crowd, you know, where everyone's sweet I'm kind of imagining that. I know I've just said sweet Caroline, but you know what I mean, like that kind of anything about that, because that would be quite scary for me, the fact that in a way I'm kind of like headlining because everyone's up for it. Does that make sense?
See, the part of the day that I do is generally whilst people are getting photos taken and when they're milling around.
And when they're doing the register and stuff.
I don't get much of the, like, everyone wants to dance.
So it's normally function bands that do the evening,
yes,
is that what
exactly.
you're saying?
So whenever I am, like, gigging with my dad or doing an evening thing with a band, that is when people want to get up dancing. But the ceremony, it'll be one song, bride walks down or whoever walks down, they'll sign the register, that's about two songs, and then they'll walk out, that's another song, and then that's it for the ceremony.
Then
I move my gear into wherever they're having the drinks reception, and then that's me for about 2 hours there. So they are listening, but sometimes it is a little bit like musical wallpaper.
Yeah.
Like, you are just there to fill fill the space. But I don't mind. And quite often people come up to the end and be like, yeah, you were really good, really enjoyed it. And whenever you catch someone enjoying what you do, then that makes it very, very worth it.
Interesting question from me. Would you ever consider doing it full time if your client base was big enough?
Yes. Yeah. However, it's the lack of security that stresses me out a little bit. And
is that the situation that you obviously seen that from your dad? Like,
yes, like he's always worked a kind of full time job and then done gigging and everything on the side.
Got you.
But he has made the jump now and done it like the freelancing stuff full time. So it is doable, but at the minute it's nice to have like a paycheck coming in, and then the gigging is kind of extra. So if I manage to get the client base and get my calendar full enough, then it would be great.
I suppose you're young as well. You've got plenty of time to think about that. But I was just curious whether you were interested in it,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I guess as a good way segue, I don't know if you've got any more wedding questions.
No, I'm ready to segue. Yeah.
So what is the biggest differences that you've got between gigging and weddings? And which one do you enjoy the most? Being perfectly honest, which one gives you the most fulfillment?
Probably, it so depends.
What about, because I feel like what we both agree, there's probably different types of gigging, right?
Mm. Yeah.
So what we want to establish is you will gig as yourself alone.
Yes.
And then you'll gig as part of a band.
Yeah.
And then you'll gig maybe like, is there any other different types of ways that it could work? Like, where maybe like you're playing in a bar and you're not the focus or something, is it just them two really?
Pretty much just those two. It's quite rare. It does happen, but it's rare where I'm gigging and I am, like, people are sat down listening to me.
Yeah, got you.
Yeah, it does happen, but rarely.
So what about which one do you enjoy out of those two the most?
Probably, for me personally, playing with a band, because sometimes playing on my own is lonely. However, I can make as many mistakes as I want and I can change tempo randomly just because I want to, and I can go into different sections and I don't have to worry about anyone else when I'm playing on my own. However, you get musical flow when you're in a band.
Yeah.
Like the feeling you get is just incredible whenever you're playing with other people. So it's just the vibe that you're on when you're playing with other people is amazing. So I do miss that whenever I'm gigging on my own.
What are the type of events that you do? Like,
It will be a lot of bar stuff and like micro breweries really like.
Oh, that's interesting.
What I do, yeah, you know, like a Sunday evening, everyone's having a chilled, like they're trying like specialist craft beers and stuff. I went down really well in there, like in Wigan and Warrington and stuff. I went down quite well there.
Have you got any micro breweries you can shout out around Warrington or Wigan?
West Horton, the beer school. My first ever gig was there, and they kept me going, and they gave me a chance, and they paid me for my first gig.
Oh, wow.
Which was surprising. Didn't deserve it then. I shouldn't have paid them. But no, they're fantastic.
That's nice. Mm. So what about the process? Say I want to get into this, right? And me and Jack want to have a crack as like a little Irish duo or something, right? You enjoyed that, didn't you?
That's hilarious.
The two-leaf clover.
We'll talk about this afterwards.
Cut that. Won't cut it, though.
I'm keeping it.
You're such a cock.
Starting the brand Two Leaf Clover. Carry on.
All right, so if we want to start, yeah. So we're Two Leaf Clover, right? We want to start, like, we want to like have a crack at something like this. How is the two things different? How is the process of getting a gig different to getting a wedding? Because I presume it's quite different, right?
Yeah,
like,
a bit.
And then also, you talked about prep, you talked about you're able to kind of wing it more at gigs. I wonder whether you could talk about that, you know, from the perspective of trying to educate someone who's maybe about to do their, who's got a couple of gigs lined up and is used to preparing for weddings, maybe. Like, what would be different for you about preparing for a gig than preparing for a wedding, even if it's just that you do less?
Okay, first question, how is it different getting the gigs for each? For just normal gigging, it's pestering. You've got to mind the venues so much.
Venues or promoters that you
Go for? I go straight to venues.
Interesting.
I don't have a lot of promoters in my contacts at all. I rarely deal with them. Mm-hmm. I think it's the kind of venues that I go to, though. So I don't go to ones that are putting on like massive events, like ticketed events. None of my events are ticketed,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, if it's a microbrewery, it's going to be like the manager who wants to pull some extra customers in.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I've not dealt with that many promoters, but I really enjoy dealing with the managers because they know what they're after, and if they like it, then they will just get you back in mm-hmm. whenever they want because they're in control of it. But
that makes sense.
How do you contact them as well? Are you on Instagram? Are you emailing them? Like,
yeah, okay. Anything I can, really. However, the difference between here and Northern Ireland is Northern Ireland, you need to put FaceTime in. Like, they won't book you at all unless they've seen your face. And that's one big thing I've noticed, different to here.
Would you say if you were coming over to here, mm-hmm. knowing that that skill works in Northern Ireland, because I think that's actually quite a little, that's like a niche skill that not a lot of people know, is if you get your face known and out there, a lot of people just expect that if you can, like, pester loads of people on Instagram, you're going to get gigs. But it's kind of like a How to Win Friends, Influence People type savviness to go into a venue first and go and have a drink and go and speak to the managers. Like, has that benefited coming over here?
But just off that topic, I think you've got a cool story that you said to me not too long ago that could go well with that, about the open mic, like, turning into gigs and how you're often, like, go and play at a venue just so that the owner has seen you. And then, like, maybe you could talk a bit about that in relation to Jack's question. Like.
Okay, so there was a venue in Northern Ireland, Avery's, in Omagh. And it was having an open mic night, so I went down and I would have liked to gig from them because they put on a lot of live music. So, and gigs breed gigs. So I am struggling to get normal gigs in Northern Ireland. Weddings are going great, but normal gigs I'm struggling with a bit. I think it's the FaceTime thing. Like, everywhere's so far away from each other. So, like, it's...
Got to drive an hour to go to a pub, like...
Yes, and maybe not get a gig from it. But it's what you have to do, so I will do it. So I went down to this open mic night, and it was competition. But, I mean, I didn't mind, like, whether I won or not. It's just, it's to get your face out there and get you seen and heard. I'm ending up gigging there. I've got 12 gigs, I think.
Wow.
That they want me to do. Because I think they're wanting to change into the kind of vibe that I am anyway. So I think it'll be mutually beneficial.
But you got that by going to their open mic, right? Yeah. And just playing for free, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
What would you say, going back to what you just said then with the vibe, and they're kind of trying to change it to you, what is the sort of musical genres that you find in live events around Northern Ireland and in the area that you're in?
Quite often it will be country and like fiddle and stuff like that, but...
Oh, like proper...
So my stereotype isn't incorrect. Like, that's what I first thought. I thought, what? Surely it's just the same as everywhere else, actually.
No,
but...
it would be that and quite a lot of acoustic guitar. That's folk. What
okay,
I'm
yeah,
finding.
Yeah, folk sort of stuff.
Yeah. But I am finding an upcoming kind of jazz funk thing. Like, there's lots of jazz festivals over there, which are really good.
Okay.
It's nice to see the jazz coming in, because I mean, at this open mic night thing, when the final came, there was about 12 acts, I think, and they were all acoustic guitar, and I was the only person that brought my little keyboard and set it up, and everyone's like, what is this?
It's like British instrument. Get it out. Get it out.
So
can't take that from Always Sunny.
No, we can shout out to Always Sunny. It's fine.
But yeah, that's a crazy one. Like, all right, give us what would you say? Right,
is
what would you say is was your worst gig? Like, not you performed the worst, but you had like the worst day, or like any great little stories you've maybe got for
it's
us.
It's not
like.
Great. It's traumatizing, but I will.
I feel like we'll enjoy it nonetheless.
That's exactly
we'll
what
enjoy
we
it nonetheless.
Okay, right. So I was in Belfast, so cities already, like, immediately put my back up, because cities, I feel like they're one band, which I was right in this case. So it was just some, like, hygiene company doing their Christmas party, and you can see where this is going. Yeah. and the manager put me in, and I set up, and it was a bit like party, like, even before all the guests came in, and I was like, oh, this is going to be bad, isn't it? So maybe I manifested it, but here.
So you come into a rowdy crowd about to play quite a calm performance.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Love it.
Oh, so it was like their do.
Yes, it was like
so they're all
party.
Drunk and like wanting to flirt with each other and rowdy.
Yeah.
And you're coming in with your piano like play some Adele for everybody.
Exactly. So I started playing and I could you can get a sense when you're not going down well, and I had that sense like from the off.
It's horrible when it starts though, because you've got the rest of the performance
to
go through.
I know. So like these people, like they were just, it's when they're rowdy and they're rude, like it just it immediately makes me think like I don't want to be here. But you've got to power through because you're getting paid for it, you're a professional, like you've just got to do it. So carried on playing, and then I started playing a tune, and then someone came over to me and literally went, no.
No way. That's what did you do?
I can't even remember now. My brain's blocked it out.
Oh, no.
It must have been like some Michael Bublé But like...
I judge you for that.
I know. I judge myself. But it's just...
Was it Christmas?
Yeah.
I'll let you off.
No, it was like March.
That was what I was judging you for.
So how did you get that though? Because surely they would have known what they were getting when you were coming in.
This was a bit my problem. I feel that the managers didn't book what their staff wanted. So it took me a while to realise that's not my fault. So I came in and I tried to play as upbeat as I possibly could, but my set is just tailored for kind of easy listening and kind of stuff like that. So I feel that possibly the manager could have looked into what I did. Mm-hmm. Like, I think even when he was booking me, I sent him through loads more videos than I usually would, just to check, like, do you definitely want this? And then, when I had my break, I put a Spotify playlist on, and they were so much happier with that. So, and then at the end, he was like, will you play for another hour? I'll pay you more. And I was like, mate, I don't think your staff want me here. And he was like, oh, okay.
No, just the Spotify playlist, that's what he meant.
He was like, yeah, I'll leave my Spotify playlist on. I'll come back and pick my phone up in an hour and you can pay me.
Yeah, I should have done. But no, I didn't end up playing. I knew I wasn't going down well. And I don't think it would have been beneficial for me or the staff.
What about maybe something the other way around? What, like, just for like the cross experience of maybe knowing when you're going down well?
It's whenever you see people, like, because what my stuff maybe you wouldn't recognise initially, and then whenever I get to the chorus, you'll realise what it is. And it's that moment when people are like, oh yeah, I love this song. And it's seeing people sing along, and like in band situations, it's just class. Like, you know when you're going down so well, and everyone's singing along and dancing away, it's just brilliant. And for yourself, whenever the band are enjoying it, like when you're in the pocket and you just have an amazing groove going on and you're all gelling incredibly well, that is like self-indulgent paradise.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's amazing.
I get that weird feeling that when you've got that connection going well, it's almost like that you can't even feel the crowd. You're all just having such a sick time on stage.
Yeah,
like
musical flow.
Yeah.
It's a powerful thing.
So what about your kind of... What about your musicianship? Like, do you ever do any things where you're just playing?
As in just playing piano?
Just playing piano, yeah.
No.
So if you're with a band, you'll tend to sing the band?
Yes. There have been a couple of gigs with the Beard Band. Can I shout out?
Yeah, we want to talk about the Beard Band because I feel like Jack will quite like them as well.
He's so good. But no, he's been a great person. He's been bringing me in as primarily a keys player, which has been a massive kick for me because I'm with these musicians and I don't feel good enough. But I'm using that in the best way because I want to improve. So I think if you possibly can, you need to be in a room with people that are better than you.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
There's no point otherwise.
Very cliche, they say. If you're the best person in the room for that talent, you're in the wrong room, I believe.
I totally agree.
Well, yeah, everyone else is going to have a great time learning from you, but you're not going to learn anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, whilst it's kind of a bit scary for me, not feeling good enough and all that, it's a massive push. So the last gig I did with him was a bit of a scary one. But it's given me the push to want to improve on it.
So, do you want to talk about him a little bit? Who is this elusive guy? What's he?
The Beard Band.
Yeah,
Jim
yeah.
Ball is he's fantastic. Just his brand is brilliant. So he's very good at social media. He's obviously got a big beard. He's an acoustic guitar player.
I hope so.
And his voice is great. And the band and everything that he's got. My dad is the bass player. I know the band pretty well. I've gigged with each of them like a couple of times, and they do it for the crack. Like it's so fun to watch. Mm. And he's one of these people that someone will shout out a song, and even if he doesn't know it, he'll play it. So that is where I really struggle. I can't do that. And his set list is like 2,000 songs long. It's just, he's very, very, very good at what he does, and it's great to watch and kind of realise that that's where maybe I want to head.
Mm. What steps do you reckon you could do to get close to him? Like, you know, in terms of, you know, this being making a mentor, like you're trying to be a mentor for someone else. What have you learned from him that you want to take into your future?
To just try something. Like, quite often, if someone shouts out a song, they just want to hear a bit of it. They just want to hear you try it. However, I'm like, no, if it's not perfect, I am not playing it right now. So even just to have a go, and even if you mess it up, then it'll be funny, and the crowd will probably just like the fact that you've tried it.
They just want to sing the chorus, isn't it?
Exactly. And then that's all I've got. Sing the chorus, and you're fine. So I think that is a massive thing. Maybe stop being such a perfectionist, and I don't need to go away and rehearse it like 5 times, and then just try it.
Yeah.
So I've got a couple things. We're coming up to 45 minutes, so we'll not be too much longer. But yeah, I've got a couple things. When you work in a band, I know from what we've kind of spoke about a little bit that you like to kind of, you know, have a language with the band, like, oh, let's cut here, let's all, like, middle-eight here. You know, I think me and Jack both really admire that. We kind of like that band energy, like, being able to, like, look at a band member and, like, change something up. It's, I think, something that we admire and wish we did more, like. Have you got anything about how to kind of build that connection within a band? Like, or, you know, I don't know. It's a tough one, that, but
I'm in a very fortunate position that the bands that I play with, we don't rehearse quite often. There's a couple of bands that I will rehearse with, like we've got a jazz outfit that we're starting up and that we will practice for. However, for stuff like the Beard Band, they know what they're doing and they know the structures and they just know what to go into, and they've got such a good communication that I do just slot in. And the other way that I'm very fortunate is my dad is in the band, so he kind of essentially looks after me very well. He's shouting out chords to me when I've not got a chart, because there is no chart and they've just randomly gone into another song. So he will look after me quite well, and he's used to being an MD, and he's used to me, like, what I know and what I don't know. So that, unfortunately, is not
F sharp minor,
pretty
G
much.
Major. I'd be stressed.
It is stressful.
Especially if it was my dad showing up.
It's my dad as well. You know what I mean? And he's like, when you'll know if it's not an F sharp minor. You know what I mean? You'll be like, flat the third.
No, he doesn't. Like, he doesn't shout it at me. Like, he does it in a very good way. No, but yeah, it's very comforting having him there. But then I feel bad because then he's like dragging me along through the form of a song. So it's probably not as enjoyable for him, but it's just seeing these people in their element. It's amazing.
What about the day-to-day? Because you've got a lot of different revenue streams that you're balancing a lot. Listening to it feels kind of stressful. Like, what would your average week look like if you've got a few gigs, if you've got a few weddings coming up? How do you split your time between those two projects?
So, gigging, I rarely practice for anymore because I've been doing it for probably about 5 years now.
Okay.
So, unless I want to learn a new tune or try and keep it up to date, so learn like a Lizzo tune or something because it's current right now, then I probably won't practice very much for a gig. I've got all my charts, I've got the lyrics, and it's all ready to go. So, it is kind of just rock up and then practice any that I've maybe added into the set. However, weddings, it's someone's special day, so that I feel a lot more pressure for. So I probably will practice a lot more for a wedding. If I've got a wedding this Saturday, I will spend the majority of the week practicing for it. And then if I've got commission jobs, then I usually try and give a deadline and then I'll just work to that deadline. So for example, the last bride who asked for her ceremony songs, I gave her a month to get all of them done by.
Okay.
I was ill, so it took 5 weeks, but still got it done, and it's keeping in touch with brides as well. Like, that, they love it. So
yeah, I can imagine. And I guess as well, they've got
a million other people messaging them, you know, exactly. Like they've got florists, they've got the people who are arranging all the wedding planners and stuff.
Oh yeah, they will have
like to it'll be constant, won't it?
Yeah, yeah. They just want to know what's going on. So if you can send them anything to ease their mind, then that's what so many brides have said to me, that they love the fact that I've sent them over a clip of what their ceremony song is going to sound like, just so they're not stressing about it.
Mm. Oh, that's cool.
All right, hit me with. I've got a great finale question for you.
It's better be good now.
I know. I think it is. So, say you could go back as you are now and speak to you before your first gig, first wedding, like, and just give yourself a piece of advice or like some wisdom that you've gained from the 5 years of experience. What would you say to your past self?
What a question.
That was a good question.
It is a good question.
I would say stop stressing so much. People don't care as much as you think they do.
That is so true.
What a piece of advice.
Really good piece of
advice. Like, I'm obsessed with making stuff way more complicated than it has to be. Half the time it is for my own enjoyment, so that's fair enough. But like they don't know. They don't know if you've stuck the ninth in there and made it all nine. They don't know. My dad will know. The musicians in the room will know. And that is exciting. When you can see that someone knows what you've done, that is great. That's class. Mm. But half the time, they won't know. So if you mess something up, they don't know. But I used to proper beat myself up about it. Mm. And I don't as much anymore. So that is what I would tell myself.
That's a very good piece of advice, to be fair.
Well, look, it's been a dream talking to you, darling.
Thanks.
So we do appreciate you coming on. Why don't we just, before you go, you've actually dropped music on Spotify. I feel like we should maybe talk about it just in case this goes ultra famous and everyone listens to it.
Yeah, go for it.
So likely.
Yeah.
I did. I was in university and I did my last module was creating like all these different tracks, and I just released it because I had the content anyway. And yeah, so it's on Spotify.
Mm. Do you consider yourself a writer, would you say?
I would consider myself less of a writer than a like performer and arranger, maybe. I get more enjoyment out of arranging, I think. But I would love to get better in my writing, because I think there's something to be said for creating your own stuff. Yeah.
Sweet.
Anything from you?
I don't think so. No. I did have one question about 10 minutes ago and it's completely gone.
Well, it's lost, thank you. You haven't drank any of your water.
I was talking too much.
So I think that means coffee wins. Where's the Red Bull up to?
I've been drinking through this whole podcast, so I win, really.
The real question is, if you want to be a success, drink water. If you want to be a failure, drink
coffee. Drink coffee and Red Bull.
Right.
Good,
thank
good
you.
Note to end on. Well, thank you.
So that was Becky's episode. Gaz, what did you think?
It was my favourite one for a few reasons. One, we sat opposite the guest.
Yeah.
Worked a lot better. Two, we stopped doing this at people.
I think.
Well, we didn't actually, but we did it less. We did it slightly less because
we actually
knew
just cut all
and
the bits
we
out
went for a bacon sandwich with the guest before.
Yeah. So I want to kind of talk about
not that
Joe Rogan
if you're
does
vegan.
This dead quick. So.
Have to keep it. It's true though. I'm sorry.
No, yeah, he's right.
I am sorry.
If you are vegan, we won't take you for a bacon sandwich.
We won't. We'll take you for some falafel.
But Joe Rogan does this at the start of his episode.
We're like Joe Rogan. What? That's gonna be so loud.
But it is, and I'll bring it down. But he actually goes out the night before with his guests and he talks through it. And I think one thing we noticed from the start of the first few episodes is what we used to do, right, is we used to get the guest, meet them in the car park, throw them into a room that we've been in for 3 hours because we've been putting it together, we've been setting the whole studio up every time. We throw them in, we stick them in front of a microphone, we turn a camera on them, and that's like one of the first like actual conversations we have with them. So we've changed things up a little bit now. So with Becky's, we went out, we got way more understanding of who she was for her and that came through the episode. But in terms of lessons, in terms of things that either you got from it that you could implement yourself, or if you're a singer that you would go and implement, like Two Leaf Clover could go and do right now.
Yeah, true.
What would you say you got from Becky's episode?
Okay, so if I was going to try and do it, right, I'd get like a set of like maybe 20, 30 songs and I'd like see how they sounded when I like performed them acoustically.
Yeah.
And then I'd see like where I feel like that would fit in venues, and then I'd just try and play loads of them, and then like do some promo and like send it to them.
Yeah, how much? What would you send to them?
So
what do they need?
Well, I suppose with the wedding situation, I wouldn't do that. But in terms of like the like microbrewery thing, and like just, I feel like you could just go up and ask people. I mean, yeah, I've seen her do it, to be fair. She does just go up and ask people.
The answer is verse and a chorus for any of those people that listen to the episode.
Verse and a chorus. Oh, I see. You meant what should she send? Yeah, verse and a chorus. I did know that. But yeah, like, no, I think there's something to be said for knowing what kind of places are going to like your sound.
Yeah, because she talks about that story of her going into a place in which they thought that she was going to be like for this big Christmas party, and it just wasn't the style that she went for.
Oh, of course, yeah, where it like wasn't. I think there's something to be said for that, but I suppose you have to do those things. But
yeah, of course, I think that helps find your sound as well. The one thing I really liked with it is how she goes and like plays open mic at venues first, how she goes and speaks to and has a drink in the place of that she's like, she becomes a customer of the place first, and like I think a lot of people would spam a bunch of people on Instagram who are like promoters, venue owners, managers or whatever without ever having walked in there in the first place.
And that is true.
Maybe it's an Irish thing, I'm not too sure. I mean, I think it does go a long way if you can find these people naturally, but I don't feel like that happens.
Do you know what I think managers as well is there's a lot of word of mouth in that industry.
With weddings.
But also I'm thinking with like, you know, like one of our friends is like, you know, did like one place in town and then did three or four. And I feel like people see it and kind of think, oh, we'll have him. Like,
yeah,
I think there is more word of mouth in this industry locally than people realise. Rather than just you have to get like a really good social media. I don't necessarily think that's true. You know, you can do it with no website and just Facebook. And I think it means that people have no excuse. Vocalists, make some cash.
That's it. I think that's the thing. One of the big things I learned from her is how, especially from the story of how she started it, like, It really doesn't mean that you have to go and chuck a bunch of Spotify songs up, have a massive audience or do whatever. If you're a vocalist, people will pay for that. And if you just go and ask these people and you show them a little rendition of what you've got, that's the easiest step, I would say, out of all the guests that we brought into it on how to make money from music.
So. Yeah, yeah. 100%.
Otherwise, you've got promote the hell out of your event until
it's all more difficult
to it. Even with all of the other sort of rapping bands, all these kinds of things, they're so competitive. And don't get me wrong, wedding singers obviously are competitive, but I think it's one of the easiest transitions from being able to play an instrument or do something into actually monetizing.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why we started the podcast in the first place, right?
100%.
Find what we can do, monetize it. So when are we becoming Two Leaf Clover? When is the wedding band? So
I know, maybe we have to do it as like a side thing. I hope we don't.
It's happened now. You know, with a name as well for it. I was really,
it's
terrible, it is, but bad. That's why it's so funny.
But yeah, so we hope you enjoyed the episode. We don't actually know. Our next guest could be a couple of different people, so we can't give you a definitive on that. Unlucky. But yeah, thank you for watching the episode, and we'll be back in, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah, in 3 weeks. We have a bunch of guests lined up, so we should be able to get one in and get out in time. But if not, there'll be a bit of a delay. You'll find on the social media. If anyone's watching it. If not, then we'll see you in the next 3 weeks.
Bye.
A moment that is good to end on.
So, like, how many of you don't know? Like, I know you're not going to be able to give me a specific number, but are we talking, like, over 20, like, under 10? Yeah. Does it hurt?
Yeah. Bass player range.
Facebook. To me. Yeah, got you.